supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's first Friday, March 7th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Gwyneth Cheesh. Hawa Tuxuk Newsom, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, spell jars and rune readings at Kindred Post with Nine Isles Apothecary. We talk with eclectic pagans Katrina and Jason. Montessori Borealis Public School is one of the optional programs in the Juno School District. Applications are now open. We talk with organizers to help you with the need to knows. Necessary nonsense, rollicking frolic of adventures, friendship, poppycock, and bravery. We talk with the director Elizabeth Peisel Davis and some young theater makers about this Theater Alaska Kids Company production. And Mudrooms wraps up their storytelling season on next Tuesday, March 11th, with the theme First Time for Everything. We have a preview. Those conversations and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
At KTOO, we're dedicated to bringing people together through thoughtful, balanced reporting. Whether it's during your morning commute or while preparing dinner, you're not just listening. You're part of a shared experience that fosters understanding and connection. Now's the time to deepen your connection by becoming a monthly member. For just $10 or $15 a month, you'll help keep KTOO available every day. Join today at ktoo.org.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. A couple announcements before we begin today. Tomorrow is a resource fair and listening session for federal employees or recently terminated federal employees. It will be from 11 to 2 o'clock at the Shepherd of the Valley at 8198 Keegan Street. For more information, you can email sovjuno@gmail.com. It is for those recently affected by the federal firings, even if still employed, and a welcome to learn more about community resources. Share their stories with city officials or anonymously. There's a soup luncheon provided, job services, CBJ representatives, housing assistance, healthcare navigation, public assistance information, massage, yoga, veteran support, and more. Again, that's tomorrow, the resource fair and listening session for federal employees or recently terminated federal employees. That's Saturday, March 8th from 11 to 2 at Shepherd of the Valley. Also, it is First Friday, and I just wanted to mention this, that Lee Sturgis, longtime former Juno resident, is in town and will be showing her jewelry at Amalga Distillery for First Friday. She says, come by, say hello, have a spirit. So she'll be there from 4 to 7 p.m. And today at Kindred Post, from 4:30 to 7 p.m., Nine Isles Apothecary is offering do-it-yourself spell jars as well as rune readings. And Nine Isles Apothecary is the venture of Katrina Tibbles Rivers and Jason Rivers, two eclectic pagans who have been practicing for over 35 years. And they join me now in studio. Gwyneth Cheesh, Katrina, Wasiyati, how's it going?
Great, thanks.
Oh, let me turn up your microphone. You got to be able to be on the air, yeah.
Thanks for having us, Boston. It's going really well.
Of course. And Gwyneth Cheesh, Jason, welcome. Wasiyati, how you doing?
Welcome to you. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. So let's just begin that. I also want to mention that First Friday, you can find everything going on around town on First Friday. It's such a great thing that Juno does. You can list all the events and you can list your event or see them listed at jahc.org/first-friday. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about first, I want to talk about eclectic paganism. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, Katrina, what that is?
Well, paganism is founded on the elements, earth, air, fire, water, and spirit. And those correspondences, how you correspond with those elements, which is trees, fruits, spices. So with our spell jars, we're using a bunch of different spices, some stones, jade, and intention, manifestation. It's the good things that you want to bring into your life. So we'll have all of these different options, and you just get to read the explanation of what those correspond to as far as good health and helping you sleep, helping your good fortune. And you can create your own spell jar.
Okay, that's pretty great. And Jason, how long, I mentioned that you have been involved in this for over 35 years. How did it begin for you?
I actually started when I was 16. Okay. I was actually in a coven in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Okay.
I learned a lot of different things, some light, some dark. I'm kind of a gray person when it comes to things. A lot of people will say, what's light and dark? Light is, you know, good. Dark is evil. I don't really pertain to that. It's something more of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And my high priestess at the time taught me many things, but we were definitely more on a darker path at that time. And then I just through the years got involved in different theologies, always kind of on the fringe. The practice that I have today is extremely eclectic, from talking with calling the dragons and things like that, and but also working with primordial spirits, not necessarily putting a name to them, but actually, you know, Sky Father, Earth Mother, getting back to not putting any label on it, because I believe that kind of, once you put a label on it, dilutes it.
And is that part of the reason, because I know I was looking this up and doing the research for this, and I was looking at the difference between sort of just paganism and eclectic paganism, which is more of a modern conceit, right, where it mixes a bunch of different theories. And so am I right about that?
Yeah.
So it mixes and matches different ideals?
Yeah. Correct. It's sort of, we lean a little more toward the Celtic paganism, but we also, there are elements of Wicca, because we were both 90s babies. We started out in the Wicca education. But yeah, there's just a ton of different branches of paganism. So for us, we work with and we research a bunch of different theologies, and we just take what speaks to us and is what is true to us, and that's what makes us eclectic.
I see. Okay, that's great. And one of the things that I think there's a misconception about that gets often attributed to paganism is the idea that you folks are a satanic cult or something like that.
No,
and that's just not true, right?
So
that, I mean, you were talking about sort of light and dark, but that's just sort of talking about energy, right?
Yeah, it's energy. You know, I think paganism at its root, the first time paganism was used was by the Roman Empire, and the Romans called anybody that was not a Roman citizen a pagan. And then that got attributed to the Catholic Church, and they used that as a term of anybody that wasn't Catholic was pagan, and so on and so forth.
And that's where maybe where that misconception.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a misconception within things. A lot of the things that I read these days were a lot of the things that the Christian Church called demons and devils were actually older energies and older god forms that the church did not want to bring into the faith.
I see. Okay. Okay.
And that's not being any disparaging about the church. I was raised Roman Catholic.
Understood. So let's talk about this event that's happening tonight from 4:30 to 7. What can we expect down at the Kindred Post?
It's going to be sort of like a witchy candy store. We're going to have all of the different elements that you can put into your spell jar, all out on the counter with the labels and how they correspond and what kind of energies that you'll bring in. We have little strips of paper that you can write your manifestation on and fold that up and put into your spell jar. And while people are working their spell jars, Jason is available to do a single rune reading.
And what is that? What is a single rune reading?
So a single rune reading, the runes are probably one of the oldest forms of writing. And they were, and originally they were not writing. They were actually symbols to project
an idea
or a thought form.
Okay.
For example, the first rune in the Elder Futhark is Fehu. And Fehu symbolizes... It's the original term for it was cattle, but cattle was the original monetary system for most of the Germanic and Celtic and Norse people.
Mm.
And so how many cattle that they had was considered how rich they were.
I see. Okay.
And so it is a thing of prosperity, and you can work through all the runes, and they actually tell a story. The famous story, if you ever watched Vikings or anything, was, you know, Odin hung on the tree for 9 days, and the essence of the runes came to him as he fell to earth.
Interesting. Okay.
And things of that nature.
That's a show I want to watch, actually. I haven't watched Vikings, but I heard it's really good.
I'm rewatching it for like the third time.
That's awesome. Well, it is tonight. It's at Kindred Post. It's Nine Isles Apothecary, which is Katrina and Jason's, is it a business? I guess it's a business.
Yeah, it's a venture.
It's a venture.
We started this in November as a result of some of the climate that is out there today as far as our nation and things like that. And we want to, we're not promoting politics or anything like that. We're promoting positive, we're promoting love, and we're promoting sovereignty.
Absolutely. That's great. And where can we follow you somewhere, Nine Isles Apothecary? Are you online?
We're on Facebook.
Facebook.
And
okay.
I also have other businesses. I'm also a local artist. I do epoxy art, custom rods, and things like that.
Oh, nice. Excellent. Okay.
And I'm carrying my jewelry at Kindred Post as well.
Oh, nice. Okay. So that'll be there.
Force of Nature Creations.
So. Force of Nature Creations is also there. So you can find some of that.
My other business is 907 Chrome Colt or Chrome Colt.
Okay.
And it is all about fishing and things like that, but it's also about epoxy art and fantasy art and things like that.
Oh, wonderful. Well, it's Spell Jars and Rune Readings tonight at Kindred Post from 4:30 to 7 p.m. It's Nine Isles Apothecary, Katrina Tibbles Rivers, and Jason Rivers. You can find out more on Facebook.
Yep.
Or go see them tonight at Kindred Post. So, Gwyneth Cheese, for being here today, thank you for telling us all about it. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Censer, candle, book, and sword, and ringing of the altar bell, we tie a knot within our cord to bind our magic in a spell. Mother of the summer fields, goddess of the silver moon, join with us as power builds, dance with us our witch's rune. Father of the summer dew, hunter of the winter snows, with open arms we welcome you, dance with us as power grows. Witch's rune, ah, dance with us, our witch's rune, ah, dance with us, our witch's rune, mother of the summer fields, goddess of the silver moon.
Is the path to walking again just a spark away? This is Sandra Tsingla with the Lowdown on Science. Enter Simone Romani and team at Vita Salute San Rafael University. They're paving the way for spinal cord injury recovery. They use a groundbreaking treatment called high-frequency epidural electrical stimulation. Electrodes are placed near the spine to deliver gentle electrical pulses. But it doesn't stop there. Participants also perform tailored rehab exercises designed to complement the stimulation. Two participants with spinal cord injuries saw remarkable progress. Muscle spasms reduced, leg strength maintained and supported, and walking? Participants reported feeling more stable and confident. Here's the kicker. The treatment doesn't just ease discomfort, it helps regain voluntary movement. Talk about a shocking breakthrough.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Juno School District offers a variety of optional programs. One of these is the Montessori Borealis Public School. Montessori education is based in the belief that the intellectual, physical, and social-emotional needs of children are inseparable and equally important. How does that play out in the classroom? And should you consider getting your child enrolled? Well, we are joined now by the folks who can help us answer those questions. I am talking today with Lupita Alvarez. Ganachish, Lupita, Wasaiti, how you doing?
Pretty good, thank you.
Excellent. And then I also have here in the studio with me Lena Merrill. Ganachish, Wasaiti, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
Awesome. And then Michelle Nakamura, also with us in the studio. How are you, Michelle Ganachish?
I'm great, thank you.
Of course. And then we also have Seaver, who's joining us, and as well as another non-speaking child. What's your name, though?
Winter.
Winter. Okay. Seaver and Winter are also joining us, which is fantastic. Okay. So we have a lot to discuss. I just want to get this out right at the top, that the prospective parent information meetings at the school will be on March 20th, April 5th, and April 10th. And we'll get more information about that as we go, right? So let's first start with the optional program, right? In terms of Montessori Borealis Public School, can you explain what an optional program in the Juno School District means? Who wants to take that? Lupita?
I can do that. Okay. Yeah. We are a program that people from different areas of the community can apply and participate in. Rather than going to your neighborhood school, you can choose to come to our program because you are seeking a particular experience. Like what Montessori has to offer is different from what you will find in your neighborhood school. One of the things that it's very quite different is that we are a child center program, meaning that rather than having a teacher in front of the class providing information, is the children who are at the center of the learning, and every child has their own particular interest, and the teacher is simply guiding and providing resources for them to explore and go deeper into the areas that they are interested in.
Okay. And Lupita, what is your role at the Montessori Borealis?
I am the teacher for the preschool and kindergarten program, but I have been involved in Montessori for over 30 years.
Oh, wow.
My own children went through the program for the beginning, the 18 months old, all the way to ninth grade when we had ninth grade, and then we had to shrink to eighth grade. But they experienced the whole program, and the program has existed and grown in the community from that time that my kids were, you know, growing up and being part of the school.
I used to explain, my daughter went through Waldorf, and people would say, "What's Waldorf?" And I would say, well, it's like Montessori, which you've probably heard of, but totally different. Because it is, it's another one of those sort of optional things. And I believe there's three, just to get the information out there, I think there's three optional programs with the Juneau School District, right? There's the Juneau Community Charter School.
Yes.
There's Montessori, and there's one other one.
TCLL.
TCLL, mm-hmm. Right. The Klinka Language Culture and Immersion Program.
That's
yeah,
correct.
Over at the elementary school. And those are all available and open to the public. You just have to get into the school, which there's usually a waiting list or a lottery or all those kinds of things. So these information sessions, well, first let me find out from you, Lena, how are you involved in the Montessori?
I found out about Montessori back when I was pregnant with my 8-year-old, and this one was 3, and I needed somewhere for him to be. So I went to one of these parent information nights and met Lupita and saw the space and thought, wow, what a great thing. So the preschool for the 3- and 4-year-olds, there is a fee for that. There's a monthly fee. So we applied. The classroom visit, we got a spot, and so he's been there since he was 3, and now he's a 6th grader, and we're planning on staying through 8th grade. And so my relationship with Lupita started that many years ago, and now I'm on the site council, and I just really appreciate the sense of community and how I know so many parents, and I know so many of the teachers, and they get to stay in the classroom for 3 years. They do 3-year cycles, and so that relationship with the teachers and the kids in the classroom, the community, the sense of community and respect that they develop, I've really appreciated.
So I recognize this from Waldorf a little bit, because they usually have one teacher for that elementary school period, as we would think of elementary school, right? So you're saying that each student has a 3-year cycle with one teacher.
Correct.
Currently in this Montessori Borealis. Okay.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, the preschool that you mentioned, so there's a fee for that, but for the actual...
For kindergarten
through 8th grade,
there's
no charge fee, because
yeah.
It's part of the Juneau School District. Okay, great. We'll talk a little bit more about your experience in just a second. Michelle, tell us about what you are doing with the Montessori Borealis.
Sure. So I have a daughter that's in 6th grade and a son that's in 4th, and they both started in kindergarten with Lupita. So we've been around for a while, and I'm also on site council with Lena. You know, for me, it's really been a great experience. The kids in being in the multi-age classrooms, depending on their maturity level, they really get a chance to become leaders. And so within those cycles, you know, you have 3-, 4-year-olds and kindergartners in one classroom, and then you have 1st, 2nd, 3rd graders together, and then you have 4th, 5th, 6th graders together, and then 7th and 8th graders are together. So the older kids really have a chance to learn from the kids that are, the younger kids have a chance to learn from the older kids.
And I'm sure the older kids learn something from the younger kids too,
definitely,
eventually, in terms
definitely.
Of how things go. Right? Lupita, so give us a sense of, because I know Michelle was just talking about, you know, there's groupings, you know, it's 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, those kids are together.
Right.
But give someone who's a parent an idea of what a day is structured like for a Montessori student.
Sure. And this is also unique and different from the traditional school. We have a 3-hour of uninterrupted work cycle. So mm-hmm. from the time the children arrive in the school at 8:30 till 11:30, they are working in different aspects of their interest. Like some kids can be doing math, other children be doing research, other children might be doing some practical life activities, and others might be writing. And so they don't have to do the same thing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They are expectations, and we are required, like anybody, other schools, to meet the standards. But the way we reach those goals is a different path, and it's, as I said, child center.
Mm-hmm.
So after this 3-hour work cycle, the children would go to eat lunch. We eat lunch together in a family style lunch. We don't go to the cafeteria. We stay in the room, and we, you know, might put candles sometimes and have nice placemats and, you know, just make it really cozy. And then kids go to the recess, and they have an extended recess that's 45 minutes to an hour of recess, instead of having 15-minute breaks throughout the day like they do in the traditional classes. Mm-hmm. And so that is also unique. And then the afternoons, they might have music, PE,
counseling,
or go to the library. And so they might, you know, have these activities, or they might go back to the classroom and continue with their afternoon work cycle, which goes till about 3 o'clock.
That's great. And I know one of the best things for parents who might be interested in this, registration is beginning now or is now, is to go to these prospective parent informational meetings. We'll get to those in just a second. But the other way to find out about this experience is to talk to those who've been in it. So Seaver, will you tell us a little bit about what your favorite aspects of Montessori have been for you?
I think one of the things that I like about it, like Lupita was saying, how you get to choose your own work at the own time, which can make it easier to follow. Because, like, sometimes I won't be wanting to do math. I'd prefer to go and learn about a zebra or some kind of cool thing. And also another thing is it makes it so you can work with your partners, and you have a more diverse choice of who you get to work with, which can be sometimes chosen if you goof off a little bit. But it just makes it much easier to work, in my opinion. And again, like with the 15-minute breaks, it doesn't work too well because then you just get all your stuff wet, and then you just have to keep going out there.
Because Juno's rain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, always. So it's interesting because you're talking about, so let's say one day you wanted to, you go into class in the morning, mm-hmm. and you're like, wow, I don't really feel like doing math. I'm going to look up a zebra or figure something out there. But you still have to do the math eventually, right?
Yes.
You just get to structure yourself like,
yeah.
I'm not a morning person. I can't function in the math in my brain at 8:30. I got to wait till 10 or whatever and then start doing that. So you still have to work on those projects.
Yeah. And
yeah. Go ahead.
Another cool function of it is that, like, you get to make your plan, which is a cool thing. Like, you kind of, like, get to choose your work in an order, and it helps with writing and...
I like that.
So the kids have accountability. Even as first graders, they start journaling, and they journal the date, and they're like three goals for the day, learning goals. And so the teachers do kind of, you know, at the end of the week or daily, kind of check those and make sure that they aren't just doing art all week long. That,
right,
you know,
right.
You did get some of the other things in there. And
Winter's got something to say.
But I also think it's really neat how much they do collaborate with each other, like Seaver was saying. So he's a sixth grader this year, and he's done presentations with younger kids, and they get up in front of the class and they present this research, and they have a very strict, they have to have a bibliography, and they have to have made something to share with the class, whether it's art or clay or whatever, or food, and then parents can come in and watch those. But the multi-age and kind of bringing each other up with that is really neat. And then also, I think what triggered me was him saying, you know, if you don't feel like doing math that day, when in a traditional school, you have to get 24, 28 kids to pay attention to you at the same time as a teacher and deliver that information for the day. And in Montessori, a teacher says, you know, I think Seaver's ready for this lesson today, so I'm going to dole out this lesson to him. And then the other kids go, ooh, what's Seaver doing? That looks cool and new and different. And so they want to learn. And so they maybe are paying attention, but maybe they're not ready yet. So 1 to 3 kids get a lesson. And then it kind of disseminates through the group because everybody is interested in that new way or new type of math. And so then they kind of build off of each other. But it's that teaching the kid who's ready for that information that day and letting the other kids work at their speed.
It's interesting because I know, like, I remember learning about these different schools when my daughter was going to go into school, and we chose Waldorf. But the idea was that also that I learned, and I think all of us really need this, right, which is structure. We do need structure in our day. But there's also really something special about freedom within the structure, right? There's a structure, but then there's freedom within that to play and to do different things at different times. So, Lupita, will you give us the rundown of how parents can get more information? Let's talk about these dates that you have coming up and what people need to do to register.
Right. Right now, the application is online available. So people go to the Juno School District website and go to the Montessori Borealis Public School. In particular, they can find the application form. It's a very simple application form that you fill out and online. And the application, it's available between now and April 18.
Okay.
They will close the application time, and there is a lottery. What happens is that usually we have more applicants than the number of openings in the program, and so that we have to go through the lottery. But part of the lottery is that to make sure that we have the same basic structures in terms of socioeconomic needs or special needs like the rest of the schools
in
the district.
Yeah.
So the lottery is not just a name out of the hat. Mm-hmm. It's making sure that we are meeting these requirements first before we fill out all the positions we have.
Okay.
And we have the entry point. Well, we have quite a few openings right now in first grade, second grade, 7 and 8th grade, and then there are a few openings in all other grades. And so, you know, people may consider that, well, this might be a good experience for my child. We highly recommend that parents come and observe the classes ongoing, and all you have to do is just call the office and say, I want to do an observation, and sign in, come in, visit the rooms for 45 minutes, and that gives you a good opportunity to see what's going on, how the children are working, how the teachers provide the lessons to the students, and determine, is this a good environment for my child? Is my child going to thrive in this kind of structure?
Absolutely. And some of those meetings, parent information meetings, are happening on March 20th, April 5th, and April 10th. And the website is montjunoschools.org, where you can find out more information about this. As Lupita mentioned, registration and the information to get into the lottery is happening now through mid-April. So now is the time. Sounds like there's a good amount of openings.
Right. The information meetings also is because these are kind of at the end of the day, there's no children, or on Saturday, people get a chance to see all the facility, every classroom from the mm-hmm. preschool room to the adolescent classroom. So you get to see how the classrooms are similar and different depending on the age of the students, and ask questions. Meet the teachers and ask questions, you know, about how their own child might fit into this particular program. So
absolutely.
We definitely invite people to come see
thank
us.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lupita, Michelle, Lena, Winter, and Seaver. Thank you so much for coming on the radio today. Really appreciate you being here. I'm going to teach again. You can go to mont.junoschools.org for more information about the Montessori Borealis Public School. Going to teach for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, up next, Necessary Nonsense. Theater Alaska's Kids Company is coming next week. We talk with some theater makers about this theatrical endeavor next on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk are ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin talk anachaya ha anikak, gunish cheesh.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kahuan Ish George Davis. And the word this week is kutia.
Kutia.
That means totem pole. And here's a sentence.
Kutia akawa chako.
He carved a totem pole. Let's hear it again.
Kutia.
Totem pole. Gunashchish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kahuan Ish, George Davis was Dakhtain Tan and the child of a Tsagwe Di man. He grew up in Kyrgyz, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Tlingit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Carry on with your business. There is nothing to see. You must be pretty desperate if you've come out looking for me. You regret how we parted. That is well understood. Now please leave me to sip on my wine and to wander the woods. Didn't I go where you sent me? Didn't I meet your demands? Didn't I answer your questions? Didn't I shake all your hands? Didn't I do the best I can? Wasn't I better than any man? Wasn't I cool and collected when all of the chips hit the fan? Wasn't I cool? Wasn't I? Ask how I am doing. I assure you I'm fine. Just another man helping himself to what's rightfully mine. Did you say I look tired? I'm not tired at all. I was trying to shatter a ceiling where he built a wall. Didn't I check all the
boxes? That's a little Molly Lele with Pantsuit Sasquatch performed live right here on the red carpet stage on Juno Afternoon, which is coming to you live from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Theater Alaska is committed to bringing vibrant theatrical events directly into community spaces, and now they have launched a kids company who will be presenting Necessary Nonsense March 14th through the 16th in a few locations around town. And now joining me in studio is the director of the kids company, Elizabeth Peisel Davis. Gunath Cheese for being here.
Hi, Boston. It's good to see you.
Of course, you too. I also have Theater Alaska Artistic Director Floridolino Lagandino.
Hey, that's so sweet.
I have to say your name like that all the time.
Even though
you're not Italian, I always think it's the best Italian dish you've never had, Floridolino Lagandino. And then I also have two of the young company members with me in the house today. I have Kesa. Say hi in the microphone.
Hi.
Excellent. Let me turn that down. And then theatrical performers born. And then I have Zuji.
Hi.
Hi. Gunath Cheese for you all being here today. Thank you so much. Okay. So let me ask you all first. I don't know how to talk to them. I want to talk to you guys. Kesa, tell me a little bit about what this play, Necessary Nonsense, is all about. Grab that microphone and just tell me a little bit. What's the story?
Well, there's a lot of different stories. There's five different stories mixed together.
Oh, okay. So tell me which one you're a part of. Are you part of one or more?
I'm part of multiple.
Multiple. Okay, so give me a rundown of what you're working on.
I'm in Quangle Wangle.
Quangle Wangle?
Yeah.
I love that name. Yes?
Walrus and the Carpenter.
Okay.
Alphametics and Jabberwocky.
Wow, you're in four of the five. Jabberwocky. Wow, okay, awesome. Great. And tell me a little bit about what Quangle Wangle is about.
It's about a giant top hat.
It's about a giant top hat. Okay. I like that. What happens to the giant top hat?
It finds friends.
Oh, isn't that nice? Are you one of the top hat's friends, or are you the top hat?
I'm a storyteller for the top hat.
Oh, you're the storyteller for the top hat. Okay. Okay. And then, Zuji, tell me a little bit about what productions you're involved in.
So I'm part of... The Walrus and Carpenter, Quangle Wangle, and Jabberwocky.
Jabberwocky. Okay, so tell me a little bit about what was the Walrus one. Tell me a little bit about that one.
So I'm the carpenter, and it's a play of trickery. So I think there's oysters, and one of the walrus wants to eat all of them, but I want to... and when I'm serving the oysters, he eats all of them, and I don't get any.
Oh, no. The carpenter doesn't get any? That's nope. So sad. Okay, that's kind of funny, too, I bet, which is kind of cute. Okay, and Zuji, what's your favorite part about working on this on these productions?
Hanging out with all these other kids who want to be actors.
Ah.
And, yeah. It's really
That's
fun.
Really fun, right?
And there's a lot of nonsense words.
There's a lot of nonsense words. And Kesa, tell me, what is your favorite part about working on these plays?
Everything.
Everything. Just getting out of the house, getting to play with other kids, getting to tell these funny stories. That's kind of enjoyable. Do you like acting?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's your favorite part about acting?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. Is it? Do you get laughs from people? Is that enjoyable when people are laughing at you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of fun, right? It's a little bit of like, oh, this is kind of fun to get the applause.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. Great. Well, I'm so excited to see these plays. It's going to be so fun for y'all. Elizabeth, how many kids are involved in this company?
I have 18 young actors from grade.
18?
Yeah, second grade through sixth grade.
Second grade through sixth grade, 18 mm-hmm. actors. Okay, so when other actors, young actors, find out about this company and see Kesa and Zuji doing their thing mm-hmm. and they want to get involved, what's going to happen? Is there going to be another kids company? What's going
to
happen?
Yeah, we're hoping to continue producing shows. This summer we'll have a kids camp so they can come and take a class for a week or two or more and learn some skills and do some small productions with that. But we're hoping that as the years go on, we can do a few shows a year and kids can join in and everybody can get some time on the stage.
And what's the goal when you're working with young theater makers like this?
Yeah, so for me, it's about learning how to focus, how to concentrate, also that collaboration and that creativity and how to really hone that craft, right? To learn the skills and practice those skills so that they can draw upon those when they're given a part and then apply that to that part. And also just lots of fun and community. You know, I grew up in children's theater. I was a part of the Missoula Children's Theater since I was 5 years old until I moved up here to Alaska at 11. And they were my people. That's where I was the happiest. They were my friends. I looked forward to every show that I was in. I still have all my t-shirts from every show that I was in, and that confidence on stage and that those friendships are long-lasting.
Absolutely. And Fleur Delino, why a kids company? I know Theater Alaska is doing so much.
Yeah.
Why did you add this?
I think there's actually from our company members, we're really invested in the next generation of theater artists. In Alaska, you know, I have an 8-year-old who, crazy enough, likes theater. I carried her around. I remember she was not even 1 year old, and I was taking her on directing gigs. So she's been around theater her whole life. But seeing all these kids and seeing that the love for theater and the desire to perform. There's been a lot of people that always have been in throughout these 5 years that we've been back here in June have been saying, hey, are you going to be having something for kids? And so that's really a big part of it is that. And again, I'm invested in it. We have a lot of people in our company who have young kids and young children. And so that's, you know, I see that importance here in town for that, for kids to have that opportunity.
Okay, and so Elizabeth, give us the rundown of when, where, and how we watch these performances next week.
Yeah, absolutely. So we open on Friday the 14th, 6 o'clock. 6:30 here at the KTOO studio. And then we have a performance on Saturday here again at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then we move out to the university, to the Egan Library at noon.
Mm-hmm. On Sunday.
On Sunday.
Okay. So good times for family members to go. It's not a late night kind of a thing. So Friday at 6:30 here downstairs at KTOO, Saturday at 4 here at KTOO. And this is downstairs in studio, the big studio downstairs.
Yep.
And then Sunday at noon out at the Egan Library. Mm-hmm. And how do we get tickets and information?
You go to theateralaska.org, and it's free. Donations are welcome, but it's free for anybody who wants to come. So just
Free.
It's free. Just come and, you know, if you want to donate, it's fine, but you can totally, it's like what we do at most of our shows, is just come and see the show.
Absolutely. And Theater Alaska, you can go to there, theateralaska.org, theater with an E-R.
Yeah, the E-R.
And so, Zuji and Kesa, what do we say when we're about to go on stage before we know? Do we know?
Oh, I don't know.
What do we say? How do you say, like, have a good show to somebody? She's going to give you the secret.
Break a leg.
There you go. Break a leg, Kesa. You don't really break a leg, Zuji.
Oh.
That's just, you know, it's just a term in the theater to say, instead of saying good luck, because saying good luck is not a good thing. You don't say good luck, you say break a leg. So break a leg, Zuji and Kesa. It's Necessary Nonsense from Theater Alaska. It is happening next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And for more information on all those performances, and of course, the entire company, there's a long list of children listed, and those will all be on the website. Mm-hmm. Zuji and Kesa aren't having to carry the whole show. So that's good. There's like 18 student theater makers there. So come celebrate their silliness. I really appreciate y'all being here. Good teach for coming on the show today. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Up next, we will talk with Mudrooms. There is a first time for everything. And next Tuesday, you can experience stories from community members on that theme with Mudrooms season finale. We'll find out more here next on Juno Afternoon. But first, a star party.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosas with the Redirect Planetarium. I'm going to talk about the total lunar eclipse. Next full moon, which is March 13th, it will enter the Earth's shadow. So we'll have a total lunar eclipse starting around 10:30 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time on March 13th. The moon will be totally in the dark part of the Earth's shadow, the umbra. And starting around 11:30 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time, the moon will leave the dark part of the Earth's shadow, the umbra. So about an hour before and after totality, there'll be partial phases of the lunar eclipse. And what's interesting is when you see the edge of the Earth's shadow, it's a curve. And that is the proof that the Earth is a sphere, because only a sphere can cast a curved shadow at all different angles. And the Greeks knew this in the early time of Western civilization. So why don't we have a lunar eclipse every full moon? Well, we would if the moon's orbit around the Earth was not inclined at 5 degrees to the Earth's orbit around the sun. If that 5-degree tilt was not there, every full moon we'd have a lunar eclipse, and every new moon we'd have a solar eclipse. But because of that tilt, we typically have one or two lunar eclipses a year and none or up to two solar eclipses a year. Now, this eclipse is not going through the center of the Earth's shadow, so it won't be a real dark eclipse. But if there's been a volcanic eruption or large fires, there may be some dust in the atmosphere that'll make it look like what is called a blood moon. This is Steve Kosas with the Redirect Planetarium. Our public shows are on our website at redirectplanetarium.org. Thank you.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Idi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who travel to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Listening to Community Support at Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm Boston Christopher. Mudroom's last event of the season, There is a First Time for Everything, is the theme, is next Tuesday, March 11th. You can find out more at mudrooms.org. And joining me, as they have in the past, two board members from Mudrooms. I have Skylar Bear and Taylor Beard. Good to cheese. How are you today, Wasa Iyatee? How's it going, Skylar?
Gunachich. It's going, you know.
It's a Friday afternoon, right? And Taylor, how are you? Wasa Iyatee?
Wasa Iyatee. I'm pretty good. I'm doing my thing.
Doing your thing. Okay. Yeah. So let's get right into it. We have the last storytelling event of the season next Tuesday night, and it's First Time for Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the theme. What are we thinking kind of stories are going to come out of that?
Yeah. Well, we just had rehearsal last night, so a lot of it's fresh on our minds. But we got stories about public service.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we have quite a bit of that. Birds.
Birds,
yeah.
Lots of stories about birds.
Birds.
And how does that fit into First Time for Everything?
Well, we don't want to give it away.
Yeah, I guess not.
But sometimes people have had some interesting first time encounters with birds. Some really beautiful stories, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of stories about place and international travel.
Mm.
A couple stories about that are really exciting. And songwriting, actually.
Oh, cool.
That's another one.
Do we want to shout out some of the presenters or storytellers?
Sure. We have Jane Hale. We have Cindy Boss. I did this last time.
Sorry, Cindy.
Totally did not figure out people's names. Lucy P., Jazz Garrett, Jeannie Monk, Skip Gray, Dietlith Buettner. Those are who we have on the roster right now. And as far as I know, that's who we're going to be having at the story unless some kind of emergency comes up. So
awesome. How many people is that you just listed?
We've got seven.
Seven, yep. Okay. Because it's normally been that, right? Seven mm-hmm. people, yep. 7 minutes, $7 at 7 o'clock on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's at the Northern Lights United Church as usual?
Yep, that's our typical spot. And okay. Our beneficiary is the Ha Yaksu Saini's Kin Support program. And this is the second show that supports them as a beneficiary. And
oh, yeah. We had last time, I think Taylor was here, we talked with the representative from the Kin Support program, which is a new program in Juneau. It began last July, but the people involved have tons of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you can Google that program and find out more about it. It's really cool. It's a great new program for Juneau.
Yeah, we're really excited to have them as a beneficiary this season. When we got their application, we're so excited we could support them this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they hadn't even started up. And to know, I mean, it is a thing in this town where you've got families that are supporting the children of other family members. And so it's really wonderful to have an organization like that and to be able to give back to them. So
That's really cool. And what's cool about Mudrooms, just to remind folks, if you've never been, the Mudrooms board, they don't take any money, nothing, no money exchanged hands. All the money goes directly to the beneficiary, whoever it might be for that particular event. Besides, I think the only thing you take out is the cost for the rental of the church and maybe some cookies or something, right? I don't even know. But
yeah, well, Jeff handles most of the finances.
Yeah. I'm like,
he can give you all the details, but yes.
That's how hands-off this board is.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
Skylar and I look at each other like, you know?
We mostly handle like the rehearsals and the storytellers, but we don't... We don't make money off of these shows, but we all really enjoy our volunteer positions on the storyboard, and we've had a lot of really great shows this season, and we're really excited about this one, ending the season with it. We do have one more event coming up, though, soon. We just decided this. we're going to have a workshop March 16th from 2 to 5 p.m. at the UAS library. We'll have some social media about it, and we'll just put this up on our website probably later tonight. But it's for feds, fired feds, people affected by the federal funding issues, because it's been more like some of the stories I've heard, people have like been in student programs and had those cut and had to, you know, scramble for a job and stuff in town. So anyway, I know that I've talked to some people who've really wanted to work on like how to talk about what's happened to them. So we're offering this workshop to help people, you know, maybe smooth out some stories they want to share in different ways in the community or beyond.
So tell me a little bit more about what you're going to be doing during this workshop.
Yeah, so it's pretty much the same as other workshops we've done, where we sort of introduce the basics of a story. A lot of it, honestly, is like having people focus on different components, focus on a main event, why it's important, practice with each other and get feedback. And we might talk at the end about if people want to like put stuff in writing or if anyone wants to do a show. But honestly, it's just sort of like helping people focus and refine and practice. And honestly, by the end of the workshops we've done earlier this season, there tends to be a community that's built by the end of the couple hours just from sharing and giving each other feedback.
Taylor, do you all anticipate maybe doing an extra special show for stories?
I think so. We're going to
on this topic.
I would say this is probably a very vulnerable topic, so we're going to have the workshop and talk to the people who come to it and kind of see what their thoughts are on how we move forward with this, because the workshop's good for learn, you know, not just storytelling, but learning effective ways to communicate with others, right? And so I definitely think we don't know how we're moving forward with it, but we're going to talk to people who gather with us and figure out how we're moving forward from there, but we will let you know.
Of course. Absolutely. Please do. And how do people get registered for this workshop?
So I think we're asking, because we haven't put this up, because we just confirmed the space. And right now in the federal government, things are moving and changing really, really fast, which is kind of why we added this on last minute. But they can just email us if they're interested. They can also just show up. We'll put up a form on the website, but even just sending us an email, which you can find through the website, is great, but also you can just show up. It's free.
Can you give the details, like when and where and what time?
Yeah. So it's at the UAS library, March 16th, 2 to 5 p.m. I think it's room 212, but the librarians can direct you to where you need to go. We used that space actually for our workshop in January, and it was a nice space, so that's why we're using it again. But we'll put all that information up on our socials and website too.
Absolutely. And where can we follow on the socials? Is it just at Mudrooms?
I think it's
at Juno Mudrooms.
Juno Mudrooms.
Juno Mudrooms.
We should
know this. On Instagram.
Instagram,
and, stuff,
right? And there's a Facebook page.
I'm sure if you go to mudrooms.org, all the social links are right there.
They're all right there.
We tend to direct people to the webpage, although admittedly, I think there's a couple things that are a little behind, but we've had a busy spring on the board.
Like we said, we're not a paid board. We don't do this volunteer, we're trying to keep up. But
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's and Mudrooms, the last storytelling event besides this workshop, is next Tuesday, March 11th. The theme is First Time for Everything. It's the Kunekidi Northern Lights Church. It's at 7 o'clock. 7 stories, 7 minutes. And it's $7, and it all goes to the Kin Support Program.
Yes.
Taylor and Skylar, thank you so much for coming in. Gunnar Cheesh, for telling us all about it. I really appreciate you being here.
Gunnar Cheesh.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On yesterday's show, we heard a little from an upcoming workshop leader for 49 Writers, and now you can check out the full interview with sketch writer Joanna Castle-Miller. It's available as both an audio and video interview. It is available online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can also listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay. Hello out the road. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Program support comes from Alaska Airlines, Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, and have a fantastic Juno weekend.